Today, we're starting a new series entitled The One. Everyone say The One, please. The One. And that means Jesus leaves the 99 and goes for the one. Everyone in this room and online, every one of us is the one to Jesus. And today, what I want to do is utilize this idea, this topic, and give very practical application that not only are we the one in God's eyes, but you and I can be used by God for the next one. And our life has purpose. How many believe that your life has purpose? We do have purpose in God. And I wanna just fortify that today. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. I wanna preach a message entitled, Making a Difference. Say that with me, say it. Making a difference. You can make a difference. Father, I thank you so much for this great worship experience. I thank you for your presence here. We just say now, more Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, for keeping us safe in this moment as we go about our week. I pray that all of us would lay down our resistance, set aside our distractions. We would lean in for a few moments and receive something. I pray that our hearts are open to receive something new and help us all move forward in our faith and put it into practice. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. I'm going to read these verses, then I'm going to give, I want to break these down as they tie to the message, and then I want to get real practical. And so the Apostle Paul is saying this, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. I want to break down what he's talking about. These verses are showing us what will happen after Jesus returns. So let me give just an insight here. When Jesus returns, and Jesus is coming for his people, how many believe he's coming back? He's coming back. He's going to take us home. And the Bible says that the trump of an archangel shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. So those that have passed away already, their physical body will come out of the grave, but we also know that at death, and I'm going to show this in a minute, their spirit leaves their body. So it's going to be their spirit and their body will be reconnected just like Jesus when he was raised from the dead. And they'll have a new body. Man, our new bodies in heaven are going to be lean, mean, eating all we want with no calories. Come on, somebody. Aren't you? I'm ready for a new body. How about you? Amen. So anyway, that's weird. But anyway, we'll go up to heaven. And all people that are in Christ, that's what he's talking about, all Christ followers, Christians, when he says the judgment day, this is referencing the judgment seat of Christ. It's different than the white throne judgment. If you are standing before God as a Christ follower, you're not going to be judged as far as where you will spend eternity. That's been resolved when you receive Jesus as your Savior. So you're going to heaven. But at the judgment seat of Christ, after he comes and takes us back, at some point we're going to all stand before him. And what Paul's talking about here is that all the works we did for God in our lifetime, Paul's talking about he's an expert builder. He's laid the foundation. Now others are building on it. That foundation is Jesus Christ. When you and I do something for Jesus at that judgment seat of Christ, interesting, that it's going to be judged by fire. And out of that fire, some of our works will be gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. And if our works are coming out as a precious metal, then he says we will receive a reward. If they don't, Paul says we're going to be saved, but it's like we're escaping the wall of flames. We're going to be with God forever. So what's interesting about this passage is that you and I, this judgment seat is not for being saved or not. Please hear me. This judgment seat is what we do with being saved. So to be clear, at City Church, scripturally, we don't go to heaven by doing good works. Like, you don't do good things and then you go to heaven. The reason why we go to heaven is because we're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith. We don't earn this gift. It's freely given. We receive it, and we call on Jesus to save us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can someone say amen? But we don't do good to go to heaven. But if you are a Christ follower, now that we are saved, we are called to do good. Does that make sense? And when we call to do good, it's our job to make a difference the best we can through the Holy Spirit. And whatever that is, what we do with our life in Christ, we will stand before God, and the fire of the Lord is going to purify that. I don't know about you, but I want to have some bling bling in heaven. Come on now. I want to have some Mr. T chains hanging off my neck. How about you? Anyone else want that? You better raise your hand. You don't want no wood, hay, or straw. Want some gold. And so what's next? What's after this life? What's next? Aren't you glad that this is not it? Paul said, if this is it, we're miserable. But we have a glory that's awaiting us. So what's next? Okay, let's just break this down. Very simple. Everyone in this room and online, every human on the earth today is here because God wants us here. Doesn't matter how our mom and dad got together, God, the Bible says in Psalms 139, 14 through 17, every child is woven together in their mother's womb. And God is knitting them together, fashioning their days even before they arrive. So our chromosomes, our features, our hair, our body types, our sex, all that happens in the womb. And God is forming that, and then here comes the baby, and here we are. And our mom and dad get us, amen. And we're here on purpose. And God has a purpose for our lives. Then, after we receive Christ, and if you don't know Jesus today, receive Jesus. If you're far from him, come back to him, please. But when you receive Jesus, you're given purpose. You have purpose from God. Everyone in this room and online, you have a purpose. And our purpose is more than working and paying bills and, you know, hopefully retiring and having grandkids and going to Florida. I mean, I love Florida, but there's more to life than Florida. That wasn't good enough. There's more to life than just hanging out in Florida at the end of our life. And I love Florida. I would love to be there someday. But right now I'm here and Jesus is Lord and we're called to have a purpose. And our purpose is way beyond just kind of the rigmarole of our day-to-day life. And then at death, if Jesus doesn't come at death, for the Christ follower, the Bible says in Luke 16 that when we die, angels are there to escort our spirit into heaven. Because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, meaning that when we die, our spirit leaves our body. And at that point of death, we are alive. And we are going to live somewhere for eternity. This is what happens next. This is what God wants us to understand. And so I want to ask you, how much do you weigh? Now, I'm not asking your pounds. That'd be rude. How much is the weight of eternity? How much is it? When you think about this topic, you think about what's next, what's interesting, medical science has found that when someone dies, their body decreases in weight by 23 grams. When anyone passes away, their body weight will decrease by 23 grams. They don't understand why. It's kind of baffled them. And so they've tested it on animals. And when animals die, their weight stays the same. I'm not sure if all dogs go to heaven. I don't know. We know that cats don't go to heaven. We know that right now. I'm telling you that right now. We know they're staying. Dogs, maybe. We don't know yet. We're believing it's going to work out. So something is happening at death. That's beyond medical understanding. It's beyond what we understand. And to me, what that reflects is the biblical truth that when someone dies, their spirit is leaving their body and it is changing their weight. It changes their weight by 23 grams. So the question is, how much do you weigh? Everyone in the world, in this room, online, and everyone in the world, how much do we weigh? I believe it's 23 grams. It's the weight of eternity. It's the spirit of a man that will live forever somewhere. So now you can go to the doctor and say, Doc, my pastor told me I weigh 23 grams. I'm doing good. Come on. And I want you to hear me. This is, you and I are going to stand before God. And our works for Jesus will be in fire and will come out as gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. It's my belief, not because I'm a preacher, but because of what the Bible says, that what we do for God matters most. How we live for God speaks the loudest, and what we give to God multiplies the greatest. This is so important that you and I understand that you and I can experience eternal life. You and I can have the greatest miracle, which is salvation. So far beyond God promoting you, blessing you, giving your boo, giving you your bae, opening up doors for you, causing your dreams to come true. More than all that, the greatest miracle is that you and I receive Christ and we are saved from our sin. And that we are made new in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that when we die, we're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. I believe what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. We have eternity to gain. We have a heaven to go to. And you and I can have a God-filled eternity, or we can have a God-less eternity. And God is not a bad judge. And people have the free gift of salvation through Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. I said, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus face to face. I want to walk streets of gold. This is not just a figment of our imagination to help us cope through life. No, there's a city whose builder and maker is God. It has 12 gates of solid pearl. There are streets of solid gold. And the saints of God are there right now. Your family, your friends are there right now in Christ. They're worshiping God. They're hanging out. And we're going to be with them forever. And we're going to see God. And we're going to worship God. And we're going to hang out with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and everyone else. And we're going to have Krispy Kreme donuts forever with no calories. Come on, somebody. Where's that in the Bible? I don't know. I'm just hoping. But I'm just saying. God's there. And you and I can go there too. And so I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And if you don't know Jesus today, receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. He's the Savior of the world because he died for our sins and was raised from the dead. If you're far from God, come back to him. And then I want to ask you, how much do you weigh? That 23 grams, that's going to live forever, can make a difference for eternity. That's the title of this message, Making a Difference. How do we make a difference? Now, you and I can't control God. We can't sit here and manipulate and do this to guarantee us to come out of the judgment seat of Christ with bling bling and we have a guarantee. I don't know what I'm going to have. None of us do. And that's not unfair. It's our job just to live for Jesus now and do our best for him. And a great way to put our foot forward in setting us up to meet Jesus in that day would be, I believe, to have compassion. If you talk about making a difference, it starts with having compassion. Jude 22 says, having compassion, make a difference. Everyone say it one more time. Say, make a difference. Say it, please. Make a difference. Notice Jude said, the half-brother of Jesus, having compassion, we make a difference. I don't know what I'm going to get when I get to heaven as far as my effort is for God, but I do know that I want to have compassion lead the way. And compassion is something that is needed right now. Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed people. Jesus was moved by compassion and he did things and heaven showed up. Now, you and I aren't taught this right now. In our culture right now, we're taught that through news affiliates, and through social media and all the things happening around us, we're taught that if someone doesn't agree with you, they're against you. We're taught if someone is a Republican, they're your enemy. If they're a Democrat, they're your enemy. If they're white, they're your enemy. If they're black, if they're Hispanic, if they're Asian, they're your enemy. All of this is contrary to the gospel. And there's an election coming up next year. It's going to be crazy. I just want to get ahead of it really early. That at City Church, here's how we're going to handle it. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. And when you get tired of Jesus, he's going to come up again. It's going to be Jesus all over again. We're going to be a part of the solution because the soul of a man and a woman is worth more. Hear me, it's worth more to God than our country's dynamics. So you and I have to choose compassion. We see people not as our enemy. We see them as a child of God. We see them as the one that God is trying to reach. We don't see them through the lens of through what news stations are telling us. We don't see them through the lens of what social media tells us. We don't see them through the lens of race. We go above that and we see them as God sees them, as his children. And you and I are called to be the light of the world. You and I are called to make a difference. You and I are called to rise to a higher level and be kingdom people. I would preach this message if we were Italians, if we were Greeks, if we were British, if we were in Africa somewhere, if we were in Asia, I'd preach the same message that you and I have a higher calling than being an American. Our calling is to be a kingdom of priests who carry the presence of God, for you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation to show forth the praises of him. And quite frankly, this may make you mad. God is more concerned about saving the one than he is us pulling him down into our political mess. You better clap on that. That felt good right there. Me saying that. Hey, I'm preaching good. I like this sermon. I feel good about this sermon. Hope you do too. This is what God wants us. He wants us to make a difference. We're moved with compassion. Now notice the local church, this right here where we're at, in this room, online, we're all in this room together. We're here. This is the plan of God. The plan of God to reach the world with the kingdom is the church. It's you and me. There is no plan B, C, and D. There is no emergency plan if you and I don't get it right. This is just, it's the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It started off with 120 people in what we believe was St. Mark's mom's house. And all of a sudden, it blew up. 3,000 people got saved, then 5,000. Right now, there's 2 billion people in the world that call Jesus Lord. This thing has not stopped. It will not be stopped. It will not be conquered, because it's not built on government. It's built on the King of Kings. Come on. And the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. And it shall endure. And you and I are a part of the church. And so really, we think about the one. You and I are the one. God reached you and I. He used people. He used circumstances. In fact, the Bible says God loves us so much in 2 Samuel 14:14. He devises ways to bring us back to God. And he reaches for people. He's reaching for you and me. And now that he has won us, if you will, if we've received Christ, and now we're a Christ follower, now he's wanting us to say, thank you for saving me, and now I want to make a difference. Lord, help me reach the next one. Help me reach the next one. Because really, this is not predicated on superstars in the church. We thank God for everybody. I thank God for Billy Graham, who's in heaven. I thank God for Joyce Meyer, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and Pastor Tim Keller, who just passed away. I thank God for all of them. I thank God for all of them. But it is not based on a voice that can speak to the world. It's based on you and I right now. It's based on us in the neighborhood, on the job, as we walk down the street. You and I are the church of Jesus Christ. And the church of Jesus is to be a place that shines, that does good, that lets Jesus be known and seen for all people. We're not to be defensive. We're to be offensive. We're proactive. We're reaching people. We're going to people. We're loving people. We're getting dirty with people. And we cry with people. And we laugh with people. And we accept people. Because after all, God accepts you and I. But when we come in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. We're made different. We're made new. And this is real. This is not some fake thing. This is real. And God is using you. Yes, you. You right there. You. Yeah, you. He's using you. You say, not me. I know. I felt like that too. God, you're using me. Sometimes we like, you know, if you're honest, sometimes we get up and say, God, I love you today. The next day we say, I don't know if I even believe it. And then sometimes we cuss people out and then, Lord, forgive me. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. This whole thing is built on you and me. That's some guts by God to build this thing on you and me. Because I wouldn't build it on me. I'm going to tell you, someone else. Right? But he builds it, obviously Christ is the foundation, but you and I are the vessel. So you and I are called to make a difference. Be a part of the local church. Be a part of what God's doing, man. And I say this all the time. If the church, if being a part of church wasn't so powerful, why are we tempted to quit it all the time? Because when you and I come to church and we partner up with God's people and we make a difference, the devil can't stop God's work. Hear me, the devil can't stop God's work. Amen. This is so I want to encourage you today. If you're here, it's obviously you're here, but as you're here, I want to encourage you. After this worship experience, we have next steps. Be a part of City. We invite you. What's next steps? Just for definition, it'd be like a membership class. You don't have to become a member, but right after this service in the next steps room, in next steps, we talk about our history, our story, how we're set up, our accountability, why we do church the way we do. You can ask questions. And more importantly, we want to get to know you and see how we can help you find your niche and thrive here. So take a little bit of time and just hang out. Because being a part of the church, there's something powerful with this. We're called to make a difference. We're not called to live at a lower level and fight people and debate people. We're called to make a difference for God. You know that 2 years ago, the average 50% of churches in America baptized one person in one calendar year. And that since COVID in LA alone, 30% of the churches have shut down and not reopened. The church has shrunken. The average church in America has shrunken down to 75 and some believe even 60 people. The idea of debating on church style and size, to me, is asinine. It is absolutely ridiculous because every city, every town, every small village, whatever you want to call it, there's a one, and God's trying to reach them. And the truth is that we need churches to grow and reach more people with the gospel. I know Summer mentioned this last weekend, but I'm honored. You know, we use, and this is why we shine, we do good, we give money, we serve, we leverage. We used our resources to reach over 3,000 people at the back to school event downtown Bloomington 2 weeks ago. Come on, isn't that awesome? That's awesome. We weren't totally prepared. I'll just be honest. Ryan and I talked about it. He was doing social media. It was blowing up. And he and I talked, man, he had to stop it. Like, I don't know. And we weren't totally prepared. It rushed us. 25 people came to Jesus. We gave a vehicle away to a lady. We're giving supplies. This is the heart of God. The church has got to go to people and show who Jesus is and then help them with natural needs. And then Jesus comes. This is what it is. And so here's what I want to just encourage you on something. That the facility here, the building is not the church, but it's the facility that facilitates the work of God. City's not trying to get something from you. Remember, I say this, we're trying to help God come through you. That you can make a difference in your life right where you're at. Because one day you and I will stand before God, 23 grand. If we die and Jesus does not come before our death, and we pass 23 grams at death, we're going to live somewhere. And you and I have a decision to make. How are we going to live our life? I said, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in eternal life. I don't know if I believe this Bible. I don't know if I believe but Jesus. That's fine. But I heard what one old preacher said, one country preacher. He said, I'd rather live by the Bible and do what it says and die and find out the Bible was wrong instead of living against the Bible and doing it my way and die and find out the whole thing was right. You better figure it out. You got a decision to make. Because everyone, if Jesus doesn't come, everyone's going to die. And the cemetery is the place of the living, not the dead. Their spirit's alive somewhere. And you and I will stand before God, and you and I, this is not to earn salvation. This is not about earning brownie points from God. This is about I received Christ. He's reaching the one. I've received Jesus. Now I can turn and I want to be used by God to make a difference to reach the next one. And when I stand before Jesus, I pray I come out with some jewels, some gold, something. But no matter what, I know I'm going to be saved. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. How about you? So I want to now step into some practical things. What can you and I do? How do we put this into practice? I want to give you some practical tools. How do we make a difference? Here's my encouragement. I want to encourage all of us that what if everyone right now on your phones or when you go home today, what if you made a list of 3 to 4 people in your life right now that are far from God? You make a list of 3 to 4 people and then you pray for them every day. Now I have a list of people I pray for every day to come to Jesus and be saved. Some of them have come to Jesus. I have a list of enemies that I pray for every day. I do what the Bible says. I bless my enemies. Not too many applauses on that one or praises of God, but that's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that if my ways please the Lord, he causes my enemies to be at peace with me. So I'm going to do what God says. But I want to challenge us. Let's get real practical. How do we make a difference? Because here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Jesus doesn't need us to be a superstar. He doesn't need us to have money. Hear me. You may or you may not. He doesn't need us to have a big platform on social media. He doesn't need us to be famous. He doesn't need us to be popular. He doesn't need extraordinary gifts. All he needs is availability. In pro sports, they say the best ability is availability. Just being available is a great ability. What if you and I were just available? Say, I can't sing. Be available. I don't have a lot of money, or I do. Either way, be available. I'm messed up. I don't know what I'm doing. Be available. I'm struggling. Be available. I don't know where I'm going in life. Be available. I'm confused. Be available. I feel unworthy. Be available. I'm messed up. Be available. You get the idea, right? Be available. And so, practically, what if you and I today would choose to make a difference by writing a list of 3 to 4 people, of people that are far from God that you know, and you pray for them, and you pray for them every day. So step one is you make a list and pray, and you pray for them to be saved. You ask God to save them, to send angels to protect them, to send people in their pathway, and you begin to pray over them every day. And the second thing is very practical. Number two is invite them to church. Invite them to church. I mean, and you heard me say this stat around holidays, but right now it's been said and found that only 2% of church-going people invite anyone to church. Let's flip that at City and have 97% of us inviting people to church, bringing people to the house of God. This is important. Someone in last worship experience received Christ. They're going to heaven. There's something powerful, and sometimes it's not, well, yeah, okay, whoop-de-doo. Someone, you know, comes to Jesus. Oh, yay, hallelujah. No. They were once lost, but now they're found. They were spiritually dead. Now they're spiritually alive. They were going to an eternity away from God. Now they're going to be with God. It's the greatest miracle. We have to have our heart tender and sensitive to the fact that people are in this room right now and online, and you're not right with God. And today can be your day to be saved, and that is the greatest miracle. So all of us don't have to have a massive platform. Hear me. We don't have to be like this somebody, like we like in the Western countries of the world, have our stars. No, we don't need to be do that. All we have to do is make a list and just pray over them. And then invite them to church. Let's bring them. And I guarantee if you bring them, our staff will work hard to make sure they're greeted in the parking lot, that they're greeted like 100 times before they get to their seat. And they'll have coffee, and they're going to be loved on, and they're going to be accepted, and we're going to do our best. And then they're going to have some cool music. And most of all, the Holy Spirit's coming in the music. And then we're going to have some lights just to make people relax. Why don't we have the lights down so people feel relaxed just to worship God and have a sense of just kind of comfort? That's why. It's just something we do. It's just modern. I don't know. It's cool. I don't know. But it works. All right? And then they're going to hear a message of the gospel. and then they're gonna be accepted and they can receive Christ. This is how we make a difference. So write a list and pray over them, invite them to church, and then number three, bring them to church. What does that mean? Go to their house and pick them up. Meet them at McDonald's and come together. Meet them in the parking lot and come in with them. Like go another step and like say, you know what? I'm gonna do this. Man, I'll never forget when I was in Bible school, I worked at Target and I worked in the feminine hygiene aisle. It was amazing. I'd be stuffing the shelves. It'd be ladies coming in the aisle. I'd be like, oh God, this is horrible. And man, and then I was there one day and this lady came around the aisle and I was stuffing the product. And then it was awkward, it was weird. And I just took a step of faith and just started talking to her. And man, in 5 minutes, I prayed for her and led her back to Jesus. Now, I wasn't a preacher then. I was a Bible school student, paying my way through college, Target, feminine hygiene aisle. God can use anything. I'll never forget, I waited in the parking lot. I told her what entrance to come in. I waited at the door. I even stood outside. And I remember she pulled up with her daughter and she came in. And man, I felt like I was Billy Graham. And she sat with me in the back and I was there. What I'm asking you to do, I've done. And this is what God, and I know some of us, man, PD, I want to, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm facing a boulder in my life, and I get it, and all of us are facing something, but I've also learned that when I'm facing something, if I push through and step through to the other side, God can use me, and I can make a difference. Even though maybe I'm struggling, God can use me in the midst of my struggle, and I can be used of God for someone else to come to Jesus. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, in the midst of going through life, good times, bad times, whatever, what if you and I make a list and we just pray over the people that we know, and then we invite them to church, and then we bring them, and we go for it, and we make a difference for eternity. We make a difference for eternity. Now, I'm not going to preach a message and leave you out to dry with no next step. So I'm preaching this today and next week on the one because I'm strategizing for a big evangelistic effort series coming up August 20th, that is one of our favorites here at City, and that's Summer Playlist. So what's Summer Playlist? Summer Playlist is when we have worship, and then I come up here, and I bridge the gap, and then our team comes out, and we sing a secular song. And I love it. Some people in church don't like this, but quite frankly, Jesus said, become a fisher of all men. And I don't have time for churches to be defensive and backpedaling. We have to be proactive, and God can use different things. And so we've done Boys to Men. We go to the end of the road. And someone gave my wife a rose. I'm like, knucklehead, I'm married. She's my husband. I'm her husband. We've sung Journey, best band of all time. We've sung, who else did we sing? I don't know, whoever was. Black Eyed Peas. I rapped to Black Eyed Peas. I'm not doing that ever again, but I did it one time. And then we did Frozen, come on, let it go. Come on, let it go, Elsa, let it go. And we did all of it, and we're gonna do that. And there's something about it that it gives you and I an easier invite to friends and say, hey man, my church is doing this weird thing where like we sing a secular song and then the preacher preaches about it. Why don't you come and just hang out with me just on a Sunday and let's see what God does, folks. What if you and I would take this message and we make a list and we pray and we invite and we bring, someone's gonna come to Jesus. Someone's gonna come to Christ. Someone's gonna be saved. Amen. And so as you leave today, I'm setting you up. This is a softball pitch. I'm just setting you up. So you can leave today, grab a whole stack of these. Invite people. Invite the people you're praying for. On the back of it is more information about church, but just invite them. Churches sometimes get stiffy. I mean, get stiff. That's right. People coming in here ain't right. Boy, you ain't right. I don't know who you're talking about. You get right. I don't like that stuff. No, we're called to be the light of God and make a difference. And so we don't make it hard for people to come to Jesus at City Church because Jesus didn't make it hard for me to come to him. How about you? Come on. So, I want to encourage you. Let's do it. And I pray for my friends, and when I lead someone to Jesus outside of the church, I get more joy in that than anything else. And it's something that I want to do more. And you say, well, I don't know, I can't do that, PD. I don't know the Bible that well. Be available. I don't have all the answers. Perfect. People don't want to be preached to. Be available. Man, I don't have my life put together. Perfect. Tell someone that. And then be used of God. How do you pray for somebody? That's a great, just grab their hands if they let you and just say, follow me. And just say, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Save me. Man, if that's all you can do, start there. But just be natural and just befriend people. Just connect with people. Just love people. Just be normal. Don't be a weird Christian. Don't be some weird, you know, don't be weird. Like, learn how to flow, man. Learn how to flow. And don't be like, you know, if someone says something and you have to add a verse to it all the time, you know, and try to preach to people when they're trying just to talk about sports or talk about the concert or something. I watched Taylor Swift the other night, and she was great. And the Bible says, yeah, but hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't do that stuff. Just talk about Taylor, man. Hang out. Be normal. And let the Holy Spirit use you. I know today some of you are going through stuff. I'm going through stuff. But God can use us in the midst of us going through something. And someone can come to Jesus. Someone can be changed for eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you with this story, and I want to make this real easy, because how much do you weigh? It's about 23 grams. And what will you and I have when we stand before Jesus? We don't know. But it's going to be gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. I want some treasure. That's not selfish. I want to do something that lasts. So I'm going to show you how this works. Just so, let's take the pastor thing totally out of it, because you can't say, well, you're a pastor. Let's take that out. So about 2 years ago, it was good for me to kind of get away from the office for lunch, and I needed a quick lunch, and so I found this restaurant, had a bar in the restaurant, and I realized if I went to the bar, I'd get around the line and get around some of the stuff there, and I would just went to the bar, I would sit down, and I would just have a quick lunch and hang out. People would sit by me and all that, and I befriended the bartender. And she just began, she asked me my name after several times, and I would just go there and hang out, and I met her, and we'd had a relationship. Kind of just, I would just go there and have a quick, you know, lunch, and I would just hang out. And I didn't go there and sit down and like get all preachy, like change my voice. And the Bible says, you better get right or get left. You better turn or burn. I didn't do all that. Didn't do that. I didn't do that. Didn't say, I'm a man of God. No, just calm down. Just be normal and just talk. People sit next to me, talk to them some, but mainly just what's she and I. Several times, go there. I would see people from different churches. They'd look at me in the bar. I'd be like, peace, what up, you know? I could tell on their face they were kind of like, didn't like me anyway. I'm like, you didn't like me anyway, so get out. You know, I don't care. And she started to trust me. And then she finally asked me what I did. Told her I was a pastor. We just started having this conversation. And she said, Dave, will you come pray for my mom? She's dying. She's lost. I don't even know if she is saved herself. And so I said, yeah. And so she actually came to the bar one day, and I happened to be there, and I tried to pray with her mom, but I couldn't get to her. She was dying. It was kind of a weird situation, and it wasn't right. And so I didn't see her for another 2 weeks, and then finally I went back to the same place, and she said, my mom's dying. Please come. I said, you know what? Let's go. And so she took me to her mom's house, and I went there. And, it was rougher, and went in, and I'll never forget it. She's laying on the couch, has oxygen, and she met me when she was there at the bar 2 weeks before, and she said, David. And I remember kneeling down by her bed. I can see her face looking at me. struggling a little bit, and I had her follow me in a prayer. And I talked to her about Jesus. I told her what Jesus did for her, how he died on the cross and was raised from the dead and all that stuff. And man, and she said, I'm ready. And she's laying there, and I said, follow me. And I remember, I'll never forget it. She was like, Jesus. She said it strong. And I led her to Christ. And in that minute, it touches me, because this is the heart of God, because she's the one. In the neighborhood that people, you know, don't want to go to, in an area that people overlook, she's this, this, and this, and people don't want to give her time, but Jesus wants her. Jesus wants you. And when I led her to Christ, you know, she received Christ, she came to Jesus, and then she passed away. And then I go back to the bar, and she says, will you do the funeral? I said, sure. Where is it at? It's at a honky-tonk bar. Yeah, let's go to the honky-tonk bar and do the funeral. We met at the bar. Later, Jesus says, let's just complete the whole cycle here. Let's go. So I went to a honky-tonk bar and met Garth Brooks. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. That was bad. I'm sorry. That was a horrible joke. And I led many of the family to Jesus. And I want you to think about this. All that happened from having lunch. I didn't preach. Didn't try to be spiritual. Didn't try to just sit down. Talk to somebody. Be kind. Be a friend. And watch God open a door. Can you have lunch with somebody? Can you mow your neighbor's yard? Can you say to that boss, I'm going to do my best for this company? See, sometimes we get in situations and we're like, Lord, would you change my husband? Come down and smack him 2 times on the head and let him be changed. And I believe Jesus is saying back to you, the Bible says in the epistles of Peter that a wife can win her husband by her conduct. Oh, but God, my boss, I promise he's Lucifer's twin. I promise he's the devil. He's taking my money and keeping it. Get him out in the name of, I bind the devil. God, bind my boss. Get him out in the name of Jesus. I want his job. Let me have his job, Father. And maybe God's saying to you, why don't you go to your boss and tell him, I'm going to be the best employee you have. I'll come early. I'll leave late. I'm not going to cheat you. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to bless this company. And what if through your diligence, God opens his heart to talk to you, and through a conversation, he says, what's different about you? And you say, Jesus. And you lead your boss to Christ. Thank you for about 3 amens. See? Making a difference. We don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a superstar, but you can shine like a star. And you can meet people right where they're at. And then those you know, write them on a list, pray for them. And don't go up and tell them, you're on my prayer list. I'm praying for you because you're a heathen. And I'm praying, God, don't do that. Just privately, pray over them. And invite them to church. Got summer playlist, other events. Bring them to church if you have to. And then as you have lunch, as you're on the job, as you're working in the yard, as you're going to the ball game, let Jesus use you, and you can make a difference. How many believe that we can do this in Christ? I believe we can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I feel that on my spirit. You can make a difference, man. So bow your head to heaven, bow your heart as well, please. We're not here to embarrass anyone. We're here to help everyone move one step closer in their faith. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never out loud with my mouth said, Jesus saved me. And or I have done that, but I'm far from God and I want to get right with God. If that's you in either of those places, you've never received Christ and or you're far from God and you want to come back to him, this is your moment to be saved. And you would say, Pastor Dave, that's me. I want to receive Christ for the first time and or come back. If that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you in this room. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Excellent. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Excellent. Then you say, Pastor Dave, I want to make a difference. You and I don't have to wait on anything other than the fact of who's in front of us. Who has God brought into our life? And you would say, I want to make a difference. I want to help someone else God's looking for the one, and I want to help Jesus reach the one. If that's you today and you want the Holy Spirit to use your life, go ahead and raise your hand all over this place. I want to raise mine. I want to do it more. I want to do it more. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I'm yours forever. And through the Holy Spirit, help me make a difference. Help me reach the one. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe God's doing it right now. How about you?